morning, Steve. KD2BOR.
Good morning, Rocky.
Yeah, if you could call it that. It's been a nightmare so far.
One of the managers covered my post, so I was able to get out of there on time.
Yeah, I just lifted my head up when I got the your first text. I was tossing and turning. I hit the 10-minute snooze a couple of times. I was already up probably about a half an hour before that, but I just didn't like get my head up, so I was hitting the 10-minute snooze. Still out here looking for a used Cobra 2000. Try and fix my old radio, but I found one at $76. But it's got 4 days to go. I know that radio's going to be up a lot more. It lights up. That's all I'm concerned about.
I would say you could safely add about 100, 130 more to that.
Yeah. There's another one at $109, but that's got 4 days to go. It lights up. Looks like the frequency counter doesn't work right, which is a common problem on them. But I'm going to keep watching. I'm not going to toss that radio in the garbage yet.
That's a shame, Rock. I know you feel like you lost a close friend.
Know what it was, too, Steve? Me and Debbie bought it together, and she considered it basically her radio because it was over her house, and she used to use it, and it's kind of like we both are a little upset over it. Had a little bit of band opening before. There was a gentleman from New York I was talking to. First he was on Echolink, and then he was on his radio. He picked up another guy. I couldn't hear where he said he was from, but when they looked it up on QRZ, he was close to 170 miles away, working off of an indoor antenna in his closet.
Oh, man, way back in my 11 meter days, I had one of those, I think it was a fire stick with the ground plane on the bottom that held it up. It was almost like, it was like a metal square on the floor, and then the antenna came up through the middle of it, like an X marks the spot. And I had that in my closet, and it used to get out.
KD2BOR. Yeah, you know, you've been into it longer than me. 10 meters and 11 meters is basically no difference when the band is open.
In a way, 2 meters lately has been a lot like 11 meters.
Yeah, I heard that Connecticut repeater was coming in before also.
There's some days, Rocky, I hear three machines. I hear this machine and two others, all on the same frequency.
Oh, I believe that. Where is Center Reach, New York?
I think that's in Suffolk County.
According to the other gentleman that was on WA2UMP, he looked it up on QRZ and said those two guys, they were talking among each other, and they were 168 miles apart.
Is there an Echolink station out there right now?
How would that beeping sound mean, Steve? I always hear that, never knew what it was.
Yeah, I didn't hear it that time. I thought that usually means that there's an Echolink station or somebody's connected to the repeater.
I just texted Charlie before. I don't know if he got it. He would have to get up a little bit earlier, I guess, to make me. I got a little package for him here, and I guess he's going to have to come get it next week, because I doubt he's going to come this morning this time. But, you know, I don't think I got to him early enough. I've been watching something else, Steve, on eBay, not to do with radios, I was taking off something off the shelf in the garage, and something fell, and it broke the trip meter knob on my motorcycle. You know, you reset the trip meter, then I know how much, when I have to get gas. And I called the dealer the other day, and the trip meter knob is discontinued. I've been trying to find one all over the place and can't find one. I found a whole speedometer, but the guy wants $100 for it.
We talked about it the other day, maybe a junkyard. You can find something that'll work.
No, we used to have a motorcycle salvage yard up in Montclair, New Jersey, probably about a good 5-6 miles away from me, due west. And it was great, but he has since closed up years ago, and I don't know of another solely motorcycle junkyard anywhere.
Well, my first car was a 74 Valiant, and it had a broken gas gauge, one of the problems with the car. And so I always had to guess, and since I had no idea what kind of mileage it would get, so I used to always be filling it up, every time I had some couple of spare bucks, I'd be throwing gas in it, just so it would never run out. It's kind of funny. The one time I took a trip to Mystic Seaport, and I was really unsure of the car, and so I was stopping every hour when I was driving, throwing a little bit of gas just to be sure.
Yeah, that's why I depend on this trip meter on the bike. I can reset it with a pair of needle nose, but that's not going to be... You know, if I'm on the road and I get gas, you know, I know what it's reading, and then I can just add from there, but it's just the bike is so old, it's original, and it's a one-year motorcycle. I've got to find this part. I tell you, I think I'm going to buy this speedometer just for the part. And the mileage is so close on it, I don't even have to take the part off of it. I could just put the whole speedo right in my bike.
Yeah, that car turned into a money pit. When we were coming back, I went with this girl, Bonnie, and we're coming back. And I'm about 5 miles from home, and all of a sudden the alternator gauge, the electric gauge, is vroom, all the way over in the red. So I'm like, oh man! So we just start turning on everything to draw some voltage. Had the heater on in the middle of the summer, lights, everything we could put on, trying to use it up. So when I got home, we parked the car, and my dad was taking a look at it, you know. So it ended up, I brought it in, and they said, oh, you need a new voltage regulator. So we got a new voltage regulator. The next week, the alternator went. Replaced the alternator, then the belts broke. So then I had to get new belts. It was a never-ending, the car was a money pit.
82 VOR. That was a real problem with those cars, Steve, the voltage regulators. A lot of guys that were handy used to carry a socket wrench and a ratchet and carry a voltage regulator in their glove box. And some of the older Plymouths had this thing on the firewall called a ballast resistor for the ignition system. Guys used to carry them in their glove box because they always went bad.
I can't complain. I mean, I bought the car. I don't even remember. I think it was like $225 or something like that. Maybe even like $175. And the guy did a lot of work on it. And he had all the receipts for everything for the car. And I think we talked about this once before. I was telling you about the torsion bar that it had. And it was like steering the boat on the highway entrance ramps and the exits. You know, especially if it was a circular exit, it was like you were in a boat, and every time an 18-wheeler went by, the car would get woofed, and it would rock back and forth on its chassis. It was an adventure every time you went somewhere with that car. Oh, I forgot to mention. Oh, so then after all that was done, the battery went dead. I was like, oh, my God, that car was such a money pit.
Ask you another question. How many starters did you ever put in it?
You know, I think that might have been one of the things he had the receipt for. I bought it from a guy named Joe Shabika. That was his name. I still remember his name. He just wanted to get rid of the car. He was like, yeah, just take it, whatever. And, you know, he had, like, a ridiculous amount, like 200 and change. It was 74. It was in pretty good shape. It was a weird gold color. I didn't like the color particularly. But, you know, the car was very clean. The engine was immaculate. You could eat off of that engine. It was so clean. Everything was still the original Mopar parts. You know what Mopar stands for. And how true it is. The car ran great, you know. So I loaned it to my dad one day. And it had got a dent or something in the front bumper. So he went to fix it with one of those pull-out kits. Like, you put the chains around a telephone pole and you back up, and you can guess what happened.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't have to guess. Hey, Steve, let me ask you a question. I don't know if you remember. I might have asked you this before. When you started driving, do you remember how much gas was a gallon?
No, negative. Hold on a second. One of my kids got up. KB2TIA.
Okay, very good. KD2BOR.
KD2BOR, KB2TIA, I'm back.
Little nature call, or you just want to say hello to Daddy?
It was a combination. She's got a little bit of a nervous belly. She's got school pictures tomorrow. And you know the kids.
Oh, yeah. So how they enjoy being back in school?
My daughter absolutely loves it. She's one of those kids that loves school, and she thrives quite well there. In fact, she was rated she was like tied for like the best reader in the school last year, and they have a picture of her up. Sitting in a rocking chair reading to her class. It was pretty cool. They tested her with, they have a list of like 100 words the kid should know, you know, like by the end of the year and stuff. She had like 98 going in out of the 100. Average kid had about 70, 80. So she was well ahead, and her teacher said, I can tell immediately the parents that read to their kids and the ones who don't. And we always did read to her.
Very good. You got to be proud of her. I know that's one of the things I hated the worst when I was in school, was reading.
I'm trying to think what else happened with that car. The struts. I think the back had struts and not the front. Those went, and I cracked the headlight one time. Just in the bump, the headlight cracked. That car was something, man. It was enjoyable. Oh, the felt on the ceiling, it kicked right up and fell down, so when you were driving, it was resting on your head like a hat.
Yeah, that happens to a lot of those cars, and you made it. Oh, I can hear you over the S-White.
S-5 over here.
And when I first got on this morning in the car, they wanted to know if I wanted brownies again.
You must have stayed up all night thinking of that one.
Yeah. Brain cells are probably lost on that side. I ordered a set of air springs, they call them, Steve, from a company in Kansas on the 18th. You can see how much faster UPS is than the regular post office. They're already in seat caucus and telling me they're going to be delivered today.
Yeah, sometimes I'm truly astounded at how fast you can get something.
I ordered them off of eBay. I've gotten them for another car. They were cheaper than getting them from the dealer, and the shipping was free and the price was right.
You know what I haven't heard in a long time? Uncle Louie. Where's he hanging out?
I go to the Caramel Machine once in a while. I heard him, I think, one day last week. But usually if there's nobody on this repeater when I get in, I scoot up to Caramel and just listen. Sometimes I hear Bill. Sometimes I hear a bunch of other guys out there that I don't know. Hey, Steve, have you heard anything about, I forget his name. Used to talk to Uncle Louie on the Caramel Machine that had the stroke. I forget his name. Did you hear anything about that?
I hope it's not N1YNO, the wino.
Oh, it's not the wino. I forget this call sign. I only spoke to him once in my radio career. I can't remember his name. If Bill would get on, he would remember.
I don't know. When I would speak with Lou, it was always Bill, IFY, the wino, me, and maybe one other miscellaneous person would be in and out, or John. And I don't really recall anybody else being in there with us.
Yeah, there was another guy. I don't remember if the main guy's name was Rich. And there was another guy in there that used to talk to him that he used to work at a stone quarry overnight. I can't remember his name. I did a lot of listening to those guys at one time.
Yeah, I didn't know many of the KQ2H guys. I had only really started on that machine. I just got to talking with Lou one night. He was talking about freezing temperatures. And he was camping out on the side of a mountain, and it was like 15 below. And I was telling him about a job I had where it was an ice cream plant, and we had a freezer that went down to like minus 45.
N1LU Mobile. Hey, go ahead, Charlie. Just wanted to let you know I'm on the road. Did you get my message? Got a couple. The one I sent you this morning. Yeah, I think I did. Okay, I got the money in the speaker sitting here. Alright, we'll do this next week. Okay, very good. Over to you, Steve.
Hey, Charlie, what do you use for a 220 antenna?
I use a J-pole. That guy made me a ladder line J-pole. But my 220 rig's not working. I put in a call to Alenco.
Either.
Yeah, he said something about it being the IF filter or something like that. But, you know, I told the guy in a message, he hasn't called me back yet. You know, I don't want to spend a fortune on the radio because you can pick them up pretty cheap.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to get caught up in one of those situations, sending it back and forth and spending more on repair than it is to get something new.
But mine's got a lot of problems now. I mean, I'm not getting the right output power, so I don't know what the hell's going on, but I don't know if I'm going to invest any money into it.
Yeah, it's a shame because I got the, I have the 220 beam, 5-element beam, and I also have the J-pole, the rigid J-pole.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. Although I don't have a beam for 220. But I'm not going to worry about it. It's not like it's a band that we were using quite a lot.
Yeah, well, a couple of things happened there. You had when the Alpine 220 machine went down, that was a huge hit. I only occasionally spoke with the guys in the Great South Bay. They had a nice little 220 machine. And but I didn't know many of those guys. And the KQ2H.
Absolutely. When those machines went down, it really put a dent in the 220 activity.
I still don't think the Weimark machine works. That thing has been broken forever.
Yeah, that's the one that's labeled Glen Oaks.
I believe so. I don't know if it has the W2VL call sign like the others.
Yeah, all I know is I get that one full scale at the house, but when anybody ever gets on it, they're all distorted.
It was a shame, because in that afternoon we had a nice group on that 220 Alpine machine. That was really great. I really enjoyed those days. And, you know something? I was just thinking about it. Jeff, N2ION, I haven't heard him since. All this time, since that machine went down.
I didn't know he was on 220. I know he's on 440.
He came on 220 a couple of times and talked with us there.
All right, that's how long it's been. I think if I do anything, I'll keep my eyes open for a jet stream.
Yeah, I'm in no hurry to throw any more money at 220 right now. There's nothing out there to really get. When I was up in Lake George, 220 was active. I heard nothing on 2 meters up there.
Well, there's the ZLB machine. I think that's in Manhattan. That's got good coverage. Problem with that thing is that's noisy. Good, Rocky.
The guy on eBay's got a jet stream for $1.69, but doesn't look like it has the original box or anything.
Yeah, I don't care too much about the box, as long as the radio's working good. Yeah, I've seen them as low as $1.80. Or not as low. I've seen them in the $180 range. I have a feeling it's going to probably cost upwards of $100 or more to get the Alinco fixed, so I don't know if it's worth it or not. Unless I know it's not going to screw up again.
Yeah, you got to wonder about that. Yeah, this guy's right in Connecticut that's selling this one. I don't know how to say the name. Guilford or something like that?
That's it, Guilford. That's on eBay?
Yeah, you just punch in 220 and hit the where it says megahertz and it comes up, but there's a few of them out there. Not jet streams, but he wants $17.98 shipping. How far is Guilford from you?
Not too far. I could drive there.
Yeah, he's showing pictures of it all lit up and what's there, so when you want to check it out, just, you know, look at it.
January, that's when I'll have the money available.
Got a TYT for $157, brand new.
Yeah, I don't want to get into those Chinese radios. God knows, you know, down the road what's going to happen, how hard it's going to get to get the thing fixed.
No, that Jetstream has the exact same looking microphone that's on my 635.
Yeah, there were rumors that the Jetstream was built by Linko.
Oh, okay. Over to you, Steve. KD2BOR.
Yeah, well, all I know is I've been very disappointed with Linko. I bought this thing brand new. I think it was at a ham fest. I think it was one of the Weimark fests at the Levittown Hall, probably 4 years ago, and the thing's a brick. So, I mean, it transmits. It doesn't transmit full power like you were saying, and I can't hear anything on receive that isn't at least S9.
And that was from the box?
right out of the box?
It was absolutely brand new, yep. Everything sealed up, warranty card, everything was in there.
Who'd you buy it from, a dealer?
Yep.
And that problem started right from the get-go?
No, about 2 years in.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy left me a message. He said if it's, you know, if it's only a year old, we'll fix it under warranty. Of course, mine's not, and obviously yours isn't either. But they should fix it just because it's happening to all of them. It seems to be a manufacturer's defect.
I'm sure it is, but they'll never admit it.
Oh, no, then they'll be inundated with all those 220 rigs. Yeah, I'm done with 220 on a Lenko. I love my 605 TQ, and Rocky loves his 635, so... You know, I think they just had a bug in that rig.
Did you ever know anybody that had one of their HFs, the 70 or TH, what was it? Or the other one, I think, was a 77 DX, maybe? I can't remember what the numbers are, but you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Somebody, actually, I think, has their newest one, but that I've talked to on occasion. But I don't remember who it is. But no, I don't know any reviews or anything from anybody that I know that's used those radios.
All right, that's about all I got. KD2 BOR KB2 TIA.
Thanks, Steve. Those jet streams are still going up, jet streams. The Elenco 235, I've just been looking it up. They still go for like $229,
$239. Yeah, new. Yeah, the problems seem to be in the new ones, too. You've got the old one, and you don't have any problems, and I never had a problem with that either. The problem seems to be restricted to the new radios, the Mark III's.
Yeah, I was on the Clifton machine yesterday with mine in the car, and I don't use it much, but I've not had a problem with it since I got it from you. I don't know if it'll ever... I don't use it that much. It's like once a month or something like that. I might get on the Clifton or, just, you know, the Clifton or Nutley machine.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I checked out this 235. I was all ready to sell it. That would have been a nightmare if I had...
It working okay the last time you used it?
It was working normally the day that I stopped using it and took the antenna down. It was working the way it always had worked. It wasn't as bad as Steve's with that noise. And I could never tell if that noise, as I really hung out only on the ZLB, I could never tell if that noise was the ZLB machine itself or the problem on the Elenco. Now I'm guessing it was the problem on the Elenco, but yeah, it was working fine. Took the antenna down, haven't used it for probably 6 months. Turned it on yesterday, put it into a dummy load, you know, when I wanted to sell it, and started realizing I had a problem.
Jesus, I just looked up on EHAM that JT220M only has an overall rating of 3.75, what they're giving it.
That's the Jetstream?
Yeah, that's the JT220 Mary.
I've known a couple of people that have that radio, and they're pretty happy with it. I don't know how it would react in a mobile environment getting bounced around.
I don't know of anybody else that has... I don't know of anybody who has one. The cheapest price I found on a new one was on eBay for $215, and I don't know what the shipping was.
Well, I tell you, if I was really chomping at a bit for $220, I may buy something really old. Something that's got some mileage on it and hasn't had a problem. those are probably the radios that are going to last.
Yeah, that's probably the best way. They're road tested.
Yeah, I'll plan on one day next week coming up by you.
Yeah, no problem. When I ordered that speaker, I was getting a little nervous. The picture they had on Napa, the front of the speaker was showing something different than what I got. But I ordered it anyway. And when I got the package yesterday morning, it's exactly the exact same speaker that I have.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, give me, 140 and I'll bring you $2 and that'll make it 138. That'll cover the speaker. But, yeah, that'll work perfectly here in the car.
I got 138, with a paperclip on the back of the speaker package right now.
All right, that's fine. I heard you on that radio yesterday. I couldn't get back to you, but it sounded great.
Yeah, I like it. I just got to get used to it. I was fooling around. I definitely, I did figure out how to change the power levels. It's on the mic, 4, 5, and 6. 4 is high, and then it works itself down. That I got down pat.
And 1LU. Yeah, it's not too bad. I was able to do it without the book, even after not using it for a while. You know, there's the sub-menu where you can change, like, the color of the screen and things like that. That's where you do the PL and all that stuff. But it is a little bit of a challenge. It's a neat radio, though. I tell you, in January, I may try to find another one, because now I have nothing for my wife's car except the 857 when we go to Florida. And I don't feel like throwing that in just for a trip to Maryland or Washington. But I'll fix that problem come January. I don't know what I'm going to buy, but it's going to be something that's got a remote head like that radio.
Get the 635, KD2BOR. Over to you, Steve.
I got back just in time. I went to go check on the kids to make sure everything was all right. And here I am. So I'm going to go get myself a lovely beverage. I'll stick around for a few more go-rounds, and then I'll be clearing. KB2TIM.
Yep. Yeah, I'm heading up to the Tappan Zee again. There's a mobile station just before I get out of Connecticut that's been going under a restoration. It's on both sides of the Merrick Parkway, northbound and southbound. I can't wait till that opens up, because then when I want to go to the Tappan Zee, I can get my coffee there and still head up to the Tappan Zee. Otherwise, if I really want coffee, I have to pass the exit for the Tappan Zee, go get my coffee, then turn around and head northbound, and then get back on 287. And that's a real hassle. So I'm looking forward to this mobile station being finally finished, but they look like they got years to go on it. They got a lot of stuff going on over there.
I got three QSLs in the mail. One from Spain, no biggie, and two from the Azores.
Yeah, where are they located? I've heard of them, but I don't know exactly where they are.
Okay, I'm no expert, but I think they're off of Portugal.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I gotta get back into that. I gotta straighten out my shack. It's so bad down there, I have no ambition to go down there and operate.
Well, from that day, I don't know how much you remember, but my shack is a complete wreck. So I've actually, I've been working to eliminate a lot of things, and I want to make it a lot simpler and have more desk space to work with, because I'm always looking for room, somewhere to work on things. So I'm going to eliminate my shortwave. I already eliminated the 6-meter Ranger and the Elenco.
Yeah, you never got into 6, huh?
I had your antenna up for 2 months, and I never hear anything.
really got to listen a lot. And I don't know how good those front ends are on those Rangers. I guess they're pretty good. There's one for sale on Associated Radio out in Ohio on their used site.
I worked that club in New Jersey. What's the other one that Gordon belongs to? The Bergen County one, I think. I got that. They sent me a card. I worked a guy in Michigan and a guy in Florida. And that was it for my whole entire six-meter career.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy I've got that one from the Netherlands on six. That's a real real feather in my six-meter cap. There's guys that are dedicated to 6 meters out there, so it's a shame.
I know, I went to a seminar. I like six. It's very intriguing. And I like things that are a challenge. That's one of the reasons I enjoy 10 meters. 10 meters. It's just like, you know, it's the right amount of hunting. You know, it's not so easy that you can just get everything. You know, when it's open, you know, you're working all over the world. It's just the right amount for me of, hunting. I like to hunt for it. You know, I like to work for it a little bit.
Yeah, even if there was a decent 6 meter repeater that we could all congregate on. You know, there's a lot of fairly inexpensive 6 meter gear out there. Olinco, they have a 6 meter mobile FM. But, you know, there's no reliable 6 meter repeaters either.
Yeah, once in a while I would hear a beacon in Pittsburgh. Like you said, there's really nothing, and it's there and so quick. Like, you know, you hear something for like a minute, 2 minutes, and then they're gone. You know, so, yeah, I mean, you had some success, but I never really had too much success. And then I'd get those updates from DX Sherlock. 249 degrees, you know, try that. And I'd go out there, the Armstrong method, rotate it, and still nothing. So, I don't know. I don't know if these power lines are killing me or something. Maybe it's affecting it.
Well, I don't think those are helping with anything, but at the most, I think they would do. I don't think they'd affect propagation or anything. Or your signal, I think what they'll do is just put a lot of noise on your front end.
Yeah, Jim and I tested it a couple of times, and we were able to hear each other, but it's, you know, it never worked out the way I wanted it to, and I've been disappointed. When I went to the Ham Radio University, I did the seminar for 6 meters, and then I even bought a book. It was just all 6 meters, that's all the book is about. And so I've been disappointed, that's for sure.
Book called The Magic Band.
As a matter of fact, it is.
I've seen that book.
Well, whenever we next rendezvous, I'll be happy to let you borrow it. It's a good read. It's interesting. And I met the author, and he was a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, there's some dedicated 6 meter web pages out there too. You know, guys that just do six or are really big into six. But you know, anybody that's really serious about six has got a, you know, big beam up.
Yeah, like this guy's dedicated like 25 years or so on six, and he said that for every 9 openings on 10, there's 1 on 6 meters.
That's encouraging. Well, I guarantee you, if you, me, and Rocky all had beams up for six and all had radios for six, we'd be able to work each other probably on a regular basis.
When we moved in here, the first antenna I put up, actually, was a 6 meter dipole.
but that's, you know, that's got no real gain to it. Nothing like a beam would have. Even a three-element beam would have decent enough gain for us to work each other, I think.
That dipole was since converted to 10, 17, and now it's 15 meters. And it does really good on 15, I'll tell you that. I can also tune it for 12 and also 10 meters. Works really good. I get about 125 watts out on it.
Hey, did you get that that picture for that, what the hell was it, a 450? I think it was a 450 for $450.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen the 430 also. Nope, I don't have that kind of budget. So, that ain't gonna happen anytime soon. And, with the glasses to pay for, I had to go to the optometrist today, and they're gonna change the glasses, and I picked them up on Wednesday. So, in the meantime, I still got the old ones, but they give me headaches, and, as clear as it is, over the course of the day, it gets all blurry because my eyes are just too strained.
Instead of putting away a lot of those radios, why don't you put them up for sale? See what you can get for them. Try to get, you know, some money together.
Yeah, I've never been comfortable selling stuff because you never know what's going to happen. Like, look what happened with the 2-meter radio I gave you. You never know what's going to happen. It was working fine, and then you get it, and, you know, there's a problem. So I never want to be involved in cash like that with friends. I'd rather just trade and see what happens that way. But, that's why I was asking about the, what you had for 220, because I was going to trade you the 220 J-Pulse, but you have one.
Well, just start by selling the 220 beam, since you don't have a radio for it. And that's a good beam. That's got a good name behind it. M squared. You get something for that. You know, just you know, piecemeal it. Put $20 aside here and there. Those 450s always show up. I'd stay away from a 430. It's a good radio, but it's an older radio. 430s are a little bit well, more well built, I think. The 450s, I mean, and that'll that's a real nice radio. You'll be happy with that.
Wow, that KB1 CDI, did you guys hear that? It's like half scale.
Got it as noise.
What'd you hear?
KB1 CDI or something like that, repeater, on this frequency. I got it half scale.
No, I didn't hear it. I just got noise, too.
Yeah, that one, and I hear the one in Jersey also, but the one in Jersey is like a S3.
I really miss having my coffee on my ride in.
I suspect that there's a 2-meter opening tonight.
Maybe even 6. September's a good month for 6 because you got a lot of big temperature inversions and stuff.
Yeah, with 6 you can really work that tropo.
And I'm glad it's Friday. I didn't want to get out of bed for anything this morning.
Yeah, that 220 beam is nice. You know. Yeah, maybe I should sell that.
I bet you could easily get $75 for it. I think you said you paid $90. Or even $80. Ask for $80. And then you only got to put like another $20 towards that, and you got $100 put aside already.
Well, the contacts and glasses for my wife, mine, and my two kids. My son needs them all the time. And my daughter just for reading. Was just about $1,800, and that was with my union benefit.
Yeah, you don't get spit for benefits on glasses for some reason. I guess they don't feel it's a health, you know, not going to make you sick. Might make you feel sick, but yeah, I've never had a plan that was really good for glasses. Usually pretty good for the appointment for the doctor, but when you go out to buy the hardware, yeah, you don't save too much.
Yeah, well, the eye exam is free no matter how many times you go. The union frames, the union approves frames, you get $200 off. If it's the designer frames, you get nothing off. And then if you get the nicer, more exclusive frames, you only get $100 off. So that's the ones that we all ended up with.
Yeah, what about the lenses? You get anything off the lenses?
No, I don't think it covered much of that at all. So, and then with mine, I got the transition lenses and the non-glare coating. So that added to it. And I got the progressive lens because they don't want to carry around two pairs of glasses.
Yeah, that, well, that added to it as well. You can always get those flip-ups, you know, the things that snap on your glasses, they flip down. But yeah, that can be a drag. Yeah, I probably need distance glasses. I mean, I'm starting to have trouble with, you know, seeing road signs that are far away. But it's not bad enough where I really have to get them. So I'm trying to stay away from it. I have reading glasses, but I buy over-the-counter, you know, drugstore reading glasses, and those are fine.
KB2TIA, I don't want to leave Rocky out, but I mentioned this before, so she told me today that she goes, you know, your eyes really start to change around 30, but by 40, it's your eye muscles are still plenty strong, but sometime in your 40s, the lens gets less and less flexible. So your eye muscles are doing the same thing they've always done, but the lens itself isn't flexing and focusing the way it should. It's gotten rigid. So that's why you have trouble seeing things as you get older, and eventually everybody needs glasses. But, like, it was just in March. It was like somebody threw a switch. All of a sudden I couldn't read, like, a Tylenol bottle or a medicine bottle. And I'm like, what happened? You know, I could always read this. I was trying to find better light, and I still couldn't read it. So I don't know, like, what happened. It was just like a switch was thrown. And instantly my vision was gone.
Can't even open my locker at work without a pair of glasses. Just all a blur. It's terrible. But luckily my distance is still pretty good. You know, good enough for me to drive without glasses. Hopefully it won't get any worse. I am almost 60. But, well, we'll see what happens. Over to you, Rocky. KD2BORN1LU, Palisades Parkway.
Very good, KD2BOR. I've already gone through it, I think, with the both of you. I started at 40. Now it's 60. I need two different sets of glasses, and my Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield pays for absolutely nothing except for the examination, which cost me a $30 copay.
That's what I have, New Jersey Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Yeah, you're lucky you got it through your company. I think I might have asked you this once before, Charlie. Do you have to contribute towards it, or at your job status, do you get that for free?
I get it for free only because it's only for me. I don't have my family on it. If I put my family on it, then I'd have to contribute. But because it's for me, they pay for it.
Yeah, that's very good. Mine is up to 900 and change a month.
Man, that's a lot of oil changes.
You need a few more jobs than oil changes, that's for sure, to cover that nut. I just want to get a bucket every time I get that envelope in the mail once a month.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, healthcare in this country sucks. And the biggest reason, I believe, is because of the lawsuits. You know, know, these doctors are paying these exorbitant malpractice insurance fees, and the only way they can pass it on to us is with high rates. And I think that's what's screwing everything up. If you got rid of a lot of these frivolous lawsuits against doctors, maybe the prices would come down a little bit, and it wouldn't be so tough to get health insurance.
I know what you mean. It's tough, Charlie. All right, over to you, Steve. And by the way, Steve, for some reason, there must be a little bit of an opening tonight. I checked you on the reverse before. I was getting you almost an S5 on this Olinko. Over to you, Steve, KD2VOR.
Yeah, I checked before. I didn't hear Charlie, but I got to check and see if I hear you. Was I going to say? Oh, my benefit, I think, is every 8 months. And it covers me and my family. So we just have, you have to go to either Cohen, Optical, General Vision, whatever. So it's, you have to go to the assigned places. But there's plenty of them out here in the island. There's one in like every other town. So you can always find them. And any case, yeah, I'm pretty lucky that way. We don't contribute to the union. The union and hotel pay for everything, medical wise. I don't contribute, and so it's really been a godsend. The only thing I don't have is a prescription plan. So if I want prescriptions, I have to go to there's a union clinic. There's a couple of them, but the nearest one is in Long Island City over there in Danny Gleasy Land, and that. You spend like half a day there waiting for them to fill it. And then they'll complain, oh, this is too expensive, we can't fill this. And they got to call your doctor back and agree to what medication they're going to give you. So we always say, screw that, I'd rather have the medicine I need. And we just call around to Walmart or Walgreens or whatever and see who has the best price and just pay it. So traveling back and forth from the city and everything, I might as well just pay it here.
Hold transmission on the input. Check and see if you can hear me. There's an area over here on the Palisades where you come in almost full scale. Must be right line of sight. Now I'm getting closer. I get to the bridge, the more I lose you. I guess I get more buildings, or maybe the topography changes between you and I as I get closer to the Tappan Zee. I mean to the George. But there's a nice stretch where I heard the whole transmission perfectly on the input.
I had you an S5 up to an S7, but it's picket fencing. I don't hear you clearly. But I was hearing at least every other word, sometimes just missing a syllable. But I could hear you pretty well to understand what you were saying, no problem. And I'll let Rocky know. I'm not even running full power right now. I'm running a reduced power.
Should have opened up your squelch. I bet you would have cleared it up a little bit so you could have heard me.
Okay, Rocky. See what you hear me now. I'm curious to know. This is the whole shebeel here. This is about 36 watts. Almost, 36 to 40 watts. So that's all I got here for 2 meters, and be curious to know what you have me at now, and I'll give you a report also. KB2TIA.
Very good, Steve. I still got you bouncing from a 3, then you go up to a 5. There's noise in the background, but I can read everything that you're saying.
Yeah, you were perfect copy on the input. S5, S6, S7, then down again, but perfect copy.
Charlie, you're down to a 5. Rocky, I still had you about a 3. You're about a 3 there.
That's not bad for our distance apart.
I think it's the other repeater, though, is dragging you down.
Get the cab company drags people down when they're out in the distance, too.
WI2LYP.
Morning.
N1LU, KB2TIA, and K... Rocky, I forgot yours. But anyway, good morning, guys. How's it all going?
Well, it's Friday, so that's good. That's a good thing.
KB2BOR, there you go. I knew I'd remember it sooner or later. Yeah, I just got up from my nightly walk and said, now let me throw the radio on, and there's all my friends chatting. I can hear all yours on direct.
I heard you as well. Yeah, I'm up high over here. Now I'm coming into Fort Reed. Yeah, it dawned on me when I said it's Friday, that in your position every day is Friday.
Ain't that the truth? How you doing, Steve?
I'm you're just about an S2, but I can barely hear what you're saying on the input. Charlie, you were down to like a 4. And with the squelch wide open, it's still picket fencing. So I'm getting out real good, but I guess I don't hear as well as I could. So I don't know. But I'm doing good, though.
Hey, Rock, were you playing with your radio yesterday? Get it all mounted and everything?
No, actually, I was just trying to fool around with some of the, learn some of the stuff on the radio because it's completely different than the rest of mine. I got to ask Charlie a question about it on when he gets on again. But no, I was just fooling around. I was a little tired yesterday, and I had to cook out for the girlfriend and father, make something for when they came home. So I just sat on the chair and talked for a while.
Yeah, that's good. I'm on this Anytone Yahoo site, you know, where people put down their complaints and tips and so forth. And some guy put the Anytone had a second revision of the instruction manual. So I printed it. I haven't gotten a chance to compare it with the original manual, but in any case. Brand new radio now has 2 manuals.
As long as they don't have 2 service manuals. Yeah, that's funny. Rocky, what do you want to ask me?
Yeah, do you remember how to do the reverse on that radio off the top of your head?
I'm trying to think. Give me a minute.
Okay, no problem. If you think of it, let me know, or I got to open up the book and see if my Kraft disease doesn't work.
You can do the lazy man and just put it in the VFO, 146355.
And once I learn how to do that, I'm just using what Charlie had programmed in there.
Hey, Juice, I don't ever remember using the reverse on that, but... I'll try to refresh my memory. I tried to download the manual to my smartphone just so I had it, but for some reason I couldn't get it. I got to try again.
Yeah, I was talking to Joe yesterday on it. I said to Joe, how's your old radio sound, Joe?
Oh, he sounded good on that. I talked to him for years while he was on that 208H. And I always liked the way it sounded. That's why I didn't have any hesitation to buy it from him.
Yeah, I like it so far. No complaints with it. It's good enough for the house. Over to you, Steve. KD2BOR.
I don't know. I had something I wanted to ask Bill, and now I forgot. I completely slipped my mind. I don't know what it was now. Oh, boy.
Well, that kind of stuff happens, Steve. I walk into a room and forgot why I went in that room. Anyway, you're not old enough to be forgetting, though.
Maybe this RF in the shack is affecting my brain.